Statistics show that many people aren't saving for retirement. Others may have far more than enough. How do you find the right balance? Hi, I'm Rob West. Yes, it is possible to save too much for retirement, although many more folks aren't saving enough. What does Scripture tell us about responsible savings? Brian Holtz fills us in today, and then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Well, it's great to have Brian Holtz with us again. Brian is the Chief Executive Officer at Compass Financial Ministry, and we'll get into that name change in a minute. But Brian, first, welcome back.
It's great to be back, Rob. Thank you.
So, Brian, this is an intriguing topic because we're always warning folks about not saving and investing enough for retirement, but it's just as misguided to make that a priority above all others, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And the Bible gives us clear direction and wise counsel in both cases, all, of course, with the goal of finishing well. We find God encouraging us to save in places like Proverbs 21, Proverbs 30, and Genesis 41, just to name a few.
Yeah.
But like everything else, saving should be intentional, and it should always have the goal of being a good steward, like Joseph did in Genesis, rather than living a life of excess or becoming less dependent on God, like we hear about in the foolish man in Luke 12.
Yeah, no question about that. We encourage our listeners often to ask the question, how much is enough? And that includes both your lifestyle, but certainly your accumulation as well. So what are some ways then, Brian, to ensure we're saving responsibly?
Well, first, we need to discern what God is calling us to do. He gives us these financial resources for a purpose. Well, what is that purpose? And that guides us on where we should save. Next, we determine what the cost actually will be. And now a lot of this is estimating, but we can pretty well ballpark what it's going to cost to start a business or to retire well or to pay for college. Then we do the work by saving a little bit at a time for a long period of time towards those specific things and those specific goals.
Yeah.
And finally, when you've saved enough to fulfill God's purpose, we then turn to Him and ask Him where He would have us shift new financial resources, rather than just saving more and more than we need.
Yeah, that's really helpful. It's not about the mindless accumulation of wealth at all. I would also say, though, it seems like it's important then to know what you're saving for, isn't it?
It absolutely is. I recommend never having savings set aside that doesn't have an actual purpose. You know, if it's an emergency, call it an emergency savings.
Yeah.
If it's for kids or grandkids' college, call it that. Or if God has just put it on your heart that someday He's got something big for you and you're going to need some money, call it God's big idea fund. But giving it a name helps you remember the purpose God has called that money to, so you can remain faithful in your stewardship, not saving too little, but also not too much.
That's really helpful. What about retirement savings, though, Brian?
It's really no different, Rob. In your retirement savings, we simply want to figure out how much money we expect to need to care for ourselves and our spouse in a life with limited income, and then faithfully work towards that goal. When we reach that goal, we shift additional resources to another one of God's priorities in our lives. And with so many unknowns in retirement, it's easy to assume we can never have enough. But oversaving can have two big negative outcomes. First, it can lead us to adopt a lifestyle that's inconsistent with our values. We can all point our fingers at the celebrities who clearly have way too much money, but we tend to do the same thing, even if it's to a lesser degree. But if I've already determined how much I should save in order to do what God's called me to do in retirement, I'm far less likely to get off track in my spending decisions. And second, and I think most importantly, is a point Ron Blue makes often. When we oversave, we miss the opportunity to financially participate in the work God is doing right now. While we keep this extra money in our personal accounts, earning 5, 10, maybe even 15% a year, it's not being invested in God's work. And we know in our heads and our hearts that God will always outperform the market. We're better off investing as much as possible, as soon as possible, directly into the kingdom. But we can't do that if it's sitting in our personal accounts.
Boy, those are great reminders, Brian. Now, you've undergone some changes over there at Compass. I want to finish by allowing you to bring us up to date.
Yeah, we've recently done some rebranding to help better communicate who we are and how we serve. We are now Compass Financial Ministry, well-versed in finances, and you can find us at compassfinancialministry.org.
I love it. Brian, thanks for stopping by, my friend.
Always a pleasure, Rob.
That's Brian Holtz, Chief Executive Officer at Compass, well-versed in finances. I love that new tagline. Go to compassfinancialministry.org. Your questions are next, 800-525-7000. We'll be right back.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. What does the Holy Spirit do? According to God's Word, the Spirit gives life, equips people for service. He meets us in our most vulnerable moments, which we read about in Romans chapter 8, verse 26. The Apostle Paul writes, "The Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us." So though we may not always be aware of it happening, the Holy Spirit is always working, often quietly behind the scenes. The Spirit is praying for us, strengthening us in seasons of difficulty, and that's good news. The Holy Spirit is not an impersonal divine force. He cares for you. Get daily encouragement with Anchor Devotional. Visit getanchor.com.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance Program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
After Jesus returns and the Battle of Armageddon is over, what will be next on God's prophetic timeline? This week on Pathway to Victory, Dr. Robert Jeffress shares what the Bible says about the second coming of Christ, the millennial kingdom, and the great white throne judgment. Join us for the series Perfect Ending, all this week on Pathway to Victory with Dr. Robert Jeffress.
Weekday mornings at 6 Central on American Family Radio.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions now on anything financial. The number to call today, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. We'd love to hear from you with whatever is on your mind today as we take you into God's Word, help you think about the practical decisions and choices you're making today as a steward of God's resources. What a high calling you and I have in that regard. So we want to get it right. And that means we go back to Scripture and understand the heart of the Master so we can manage the Master's money wisely. Well, we do that together each morning as we gather together on this program. So what are you thinking about today? Let us know, 800-525-7000. We'll be diving into your questions here in just a bit. In the news today, and this shouldn't come as a surprise at all, car owners are hanging on to their vehicles much longer these days. A new study by S&P Global Mobility shows the average age of U.S. cars and light trucks rose this year to a record 12.6 years. Now, we all knew this as the pandemic, supply chain interruptions, inflation, and high interest rates all seemed to hit one right after the other, causing folks to keep their cars the last few years. The study indicated that vehicles between 6 and 14 years old will make up 70% of those still on the road over the next 5 years. You know, our friend and former host of this program, Howard Dayton, is fond of saying that cheapest car to drive is often the one in your driveway. And so although things are getting slightly better with regard to both the availability of cars, we're seeing inventories build. We're also hopeful that interest rates will come down. We're certainly seeing car prices coming down, starting with the new cars as those inventories build, and then that will spill over into the used car market. But nevertheless, folks are hanging on to those cars. They certainly, if you're having to borrow, don't want to get stuck with those high interest rates on top of those already high automobile costs. So we'll continue to watch that, but some interesting data out today, no doubt. All right, let's take your phone calls today, 800-525-7000. Again, that number is 800-525-7000. You can call right now. Let's begin today in Texas. Hi, Linda. Thanks for your call. How can we help?
I'm concerned. I own a home, and it's just in my name. I do have a will, but, you know, you see these advertisements on TV about people being scammed out of their house, somebody taking out mortgages on their home and everything.
Yeah.
And I was wondering if I should put my house in an LLC or a trust.
Yeah. And so are you more concerned about a creditor perhaps after a lawsuit coming after you? Or is it really more about somebody falsifying the deed, putting their name on it, perhaps assuming your identity and then trying to get a mortgage on it and something like
yes.
that?
That's what I'm concerned about, not a creditor or anything.
Okay, yeah. You know, I wouldn't be concerned about that. You'll see a lot of folks out there advertising what they call title lock insurance, and that's a misnomer because there is no insurance that can protect against fraud because at the end of the day, it is fraud. If someone were to file a false quit claim deed in your name with a fraudulent signature, it would never hold up in court. What I would do, Linda, to appease your concern here, and I certainly understand why you have it, I would check with your local county deeds office to see if they offer free monitoring. Many counties do offer this now, and basically this is where you would be alerted or notified if somebody tried to file a change in deed with regard to your property. You can also check with your title insurance company to see if they offer protection against this. Some policies do. Now, this is not title lock or title lock insurance. This is the standard title insurance. Now, do you have a mortgage on this property?
No, okay. I own it outright.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And did you at one point, though?
Yes.
Okay, so you probably got title insurance at the purchase, and so you could check with the title insurance company about that policy that was taken out when you originally bought the home because your mortgage company would have required it, and just see if they offer any protection. Some do, but generally, regular title insurance just covers what we'd call legitimate claims against the property. In the past, somebody has a lien on the property, something like that. That's what that takes care of. Not the same as somebody falsifying a deed and fraudulently transferring it. So I wouldn't be concerned about it. The cost associated with you putting an LLC in place, transferring the property, maintaining that, filing on an annual basis would just, in my view, not be worth the expense and time you'd have to put into it. I'd probably just start with your county deeds office and see if they can give you any kind of alert that could be placed on your particular property.
All right. Thank you very much. That's very helpful.
I'm so glad. Thank you for your call. Call anytime. 800-525-7000. We've got some lines open today. We'd love to hear from you with whatever's on your mind financially. We'll help you think about your financial questions in light of biblical wisdom. Call right now. 800-525-7000. Let's go to Indiana. Don, thanks for calling, sir. Go ahead.
Yes, I have a question about charitable gift annuity.
And
I'm just wondering, is there kind of a general earning on that I can be, I can expect if I keep something for 10 years, just keep adding to that, or a general percentage that would return?
You know, it does vary pretty widely just because it's all driven by your age. And so, you know, a 60-year-old donating $10,000 in a CGA might get a return of 4.5%, while an 85-year-old might get, you know, 8% or more. You know, the typical range, and this is going to be pretty dramatic, so let me just warn you, but it's usually between 5 and 10%. And again, it's just going to come down to what is your age, because it's driven off life expectancy. So what I would recommend you do, so for instance, if you were thinking about a CGA, charitable gift annuity with the American Family Association, I'd reach out to the team at the AFA Foundation, afafoundation.net. Chelsea or Riley would be happy to run an illustration for you. And based on your age and the amount you're putting in, they could tell you exactly what you'd receive on a monthly basis. But I'm a big fan of charitable gift annuities, and it can be a great option to lock in that lifetime income, get that partial charitable deduction on the front end. And you can add to it over time. You don't have to start with a large amount. I mean, you could put in, you know, $50,000 if you wanted, even less. And then whatever's left at death, you know, is benefiting the charity of choice. So in this case, perhaps AFA. But is that helpful, Don?
Yes, very helpful.
Excellent.
Yes, I sure appreciate it.
Absolutely. Remember that website, afafoundation.net, and the team there would be happy to talk to you. You know, folks, as you think about your estate plan, I love what Ron Blue says. He says, do your giving while you're living so you're knowing where it's going. And I think that's good advice. Now, we want to think about bequests. That's where we're giving at death, and that might be through your will or through your trust. But we also want to be thinking about how we can do some giving right now. And that may be through appreciated assets like stocks or property. Perhaps you give those away prior to the sale and save on the capital gains and get more money into the kingdom. Maybe it's a charitable gift annuity like Brother Don was asking about just there. And we may want to consider that. Again, a current charitable deduction of some percentage of the gift, a lifetime income stream, which is great, something you can count on alongside Social Security at a competitive interest rate depending on your age, and then the ability to have the rest of that, whatever's left, go to the charity of choice. Again, if you want to talk to the team here at American Family Association, afafoundation.net. We'll be right back.
The loss of a child through abortion, miscarriage, or stillbirth affects the emotional health of families. Feelings of anger, sadness, and regret can be overwhelming. There is hope and healing in the aftermath of a reproductive loss. Call the International Helpline at 866-482-LIFE to talk with someone who has been where you are and healed to help others. Your call is confidential. 866-482-LIFE.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com/faith. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
What we believe about the Bible is based on what we believe about its source.
The God Who Speaks, the award-winning documentary from the American Family Association, is now available in a special limited edition DVD set. This release includes a Sunday school curriculum and 2 hours of additional footage. Go to thegodwhospeaks.org to get your copy today. thegodwhospeaks.org.
Frustrated by your health insurance? Confused by the network restrictions and increasing premiums? There's a better way. Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM is a Christian community delivering a faith-based solution to the high cost of healthcare. Take back control of your healthcare with the ability to choose a provider you trust with no network restrictions and savings of up to 40%. Learn more and enroll today at chministries.org/faithfi. That's chministries.org/faithfi.
Here's Rob West of Faith and Finance, heard here daily on American Family Radio.
We understand how important it is for Christians to leave a legacy that will impact generations to come. One way you can do that is through a charitable gift annuity from the AFA Foundation.
Call 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345. Or visit them online at afafoundation.net.
We are grateful for support from the Eventide Center for Faith and Investing. ECFI is an educational initiative of Eventide Asset Management that seeks to help Christians understand and practice biblically faithful investing. They do this through their podcast and online journal featuring articles from industry thought leaders and their course called Discover God's Story for Investing. More information is available at faithandinvesting.com. That's faithandinvesting.com.
I'm so thankful you've joined us today for Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. We've got lines open. We'll be headed back to the phones here in just a moment. 800-525-7000. Our team is standing by. You can call right now. You know, in Luke 12, 13 to 21, it begins in that passage, the parable of the rich fool. Just prior to that, there's a man asking about an inheritance, and he's asking for Jesus to settle the dispute. Well, Jesus refuses, but he sees the real problem at hand. He knows that an inheritance would be a false solution to the heart problem of the questioner. So he took the time to invite the man and the rest of his followers into a richer life with God by telling him this stark story about the futile inheritance of someone who does not know God. You see, Jesus calls us to step out of that kind of futility and into a new way of life, focusing on our hope, on a richer eternal inheritance. By the way, Peter writes about this imperishable inheritance that we have in Christ. He says, he calls it an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. You see, folks, we have that opportunity to pursue that imperishable inheritance as we make God our ultimate treasure, realizing that our abundance is found in Him. It's not even a matter of what we have in the material world. It's that God is our abundance before the first dollar. Remember, He gave us the free gift of eternal life through the shed blood of His Son Jesus on the cross, and through His resurrection, we might have life as we are reconciled to the Father. That's our starting point as believers, and in that we're rich. And then we have the opportunity to make God our ultimate treasure and to handle money in such a way that it's evident that God is our true treasure. I hope this program each day encourages you in that end. That's certainly our goal. All right, we're going to head back to the phones. We've got some lines open. You can call right now with any financial question, 800-525-7000. Let's go to Texas. Hi, Mike. How can I help, sir?
Yeah, hello. First, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I've got a second home, and my parents are living in it, and I've been thinking about selling it, you know, but my parents were kind of like, well, you know, they they want to stay there until, you know, they pass, and I mean, they're up there in age, I don't know. I mean, I want to get rid of the house, you know, and I don't want to put my parents in a nursing home or anything. So I don't know. I just advise what I can do. What are my options?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I appreciate that, Mike. I realize you're conflicted here because you'd like to perhaps not have this second home any longer, and yet you want to care for mom and dad. And, you know, when you in this season of life, any kind of major life changes like the one you're describing are a big deal. You know, they become more difficult to do. And so I can understand why they wouldn't want to go through that. Tell me a little bit about why you're wanting to get rid of it. Is it just the hassle of the upkeep of a second property, or what's driving your desire to sell it?
No, it's just a hassle upkeep, and you know, it's a couple hours away from my primary residence, so you know, it's just that's it. Yeah,
got it. And how has it been doing? I mean, is it appreciating pretty nicely? Has it been a nice asset for you?
It has.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, it's an older home. I mean, it was built back in, you know, I think 75.
But, yeah. Yeah. Well, here's what I might do, Mike, is, I mean, just take a couple of weeks and just ask the Lord to give you some wisdom. James 1:5, if you lack wisdom, you should ask God, who gives it richly to us. And, you know, I think as you think about this desire to be a good steward and manage what God has entrusted to you well, and also care for your parents during this season of life, which, you know, is clearly affirmed in Scripture, and I understand you want to do that as well, and just ask the Lord to guide and direct you. What you may decide is, you know what, despite the fact that I'd love to let this go, I mean, it's still a great investment. Real estate has done well. It will probably continue to do well. It's a benefit to them because they don't have to get, you know, displaced in the process. And, you know, just see if that might be the direction the Lord would lead. Obviously, if you look at a second option, I mean, you could look at any number of situations. Number one is you could help them find another place to be on their own, either where they'd use their own assets or income to enable them to buy it, where you might buy another property to move them into, maybe a little closer to you if they'd be open to that, maybe a little smaller, maybe a little newer that has less upkeep. I mean, that would be an option. Is there an option to move them in with you, or to, you know, add a, you know, another, you know, parcel on your land? I mean, I realize that's a major project, but it's certainly one you could consider. And then I would say, as a final option, you know, there are some great solutions out there in terms of, you know, senior living. You know, my mom actually just moved into a phenomenal community down in South Florida. She loves it. I mean, there's, you know, she has her own place. You buy in, you can stay there throughout your life. They go all the way through nursing and memory care if you need it. But if you don't, you know, you live on your own, but there's restaurants there, and she's got community and friends and lots of believers doing Bible studies together. And so, you know, it's just been a real blessing for her. So I think you want to, first of all, clarify, okay, what is the primary driver of this decision? And is it really just making sure that I can honor mom and dad and keep them, you know, as comfortable in this season of life as possible, not having to go through a major transition, which this would, you know, be stressful for them? Or is it, you know what, I just don't feel like this is something I can continue to maintain for any variety of reasons, and therefore I need to begin exploring what are the other options upon the sale. So you've thought through it. Maybe you drive up there and sit down with your mom and dad and say, listen, I'd really like to sell this, but here's three or four options for us to look at. And before I do anything, I just want to talk it through with you and see if any of these might be something that would be appealing to you. And maybe we, you know, we don't rush it. We do it over 6 months or a year, but at least we're beginning the conversation about where that's headed. So those are just some initial thoughts, perhaps off the top of my head. Let me do this, though. I've got to take a break. I'd love to finish up with you off the air and just see if you have any further ideas on that. We'll be right back on Faith and Finance. Stay with us. Did you know the average person walks nearly 2,000 miles a year? Now think about the millions of children around the world who risk disease and miss out on opportunities simply because they walk those 2,000 miles without a decent pair of shoes. Around the world, Buckner Shoes for Orphan Souls provides access to health, education, hope, and opportunity through the gift of shoes. Visit giveshoestoday.org and find out how you can provide shoes for a child right now.
This is Frank Gaffney, host of Securing America, a program dedicated to protecting the country we love against all enemies, foreign and domestic, to the glory of God and His kingdom. Each weeknight at 11 p.m. Eastern Time, we provide insights and recommendations about the most important challenges facing our nation from her most thoughtful experts and patriots. Join me to learn how you can help in Securing America right here at 11 p.m. Eastern Time.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
Are you searching for a way to become a better, faithful steward of the resources that God has given you? Well, download the FaithFi app and join the 37,000 others who are already using our app. The FaithFi app will provide you with wisdom, community, and simply help you stay on track with your finances. We have three money management options to choose from, so find an option that fits your unique needs. It's available on desktop or mobile. Simply go to faithfi.com and click app to get started.
Here's a chance for a trip full of great memories with AFA at the Ark. Join Wesley Wildman and Tony Battagliano for a special trip to the Ark Encounter in the Creation Museum October 31st through November 2nd. Enjoy tours, activities, and special presentations, and join a panel discussion with Wesley and Tony. Space is limited, so visit afa.net/events and click AFA at the Ark to find out more and register. That's afa.net/events and click AFA at the Ark.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Coming up in our next segment, we're going to be joined by Mark Loy. He's the co-founder of Answers in Genesis with Ken Ham, and he's going to be talking to us about the American Family Association's AFA at the Ark. That's coming up October 31st through November the 2nd. If you participate, you're going to be touring the Creation Museum, which is incredible. You're going to be experiencing the Ark Encounter, which is also incredible. It includes transportation and lunch, as well as a special presentation from Answers in Genesis experts there at the Ark. It's going to be amazing. And Mark will tell us about it. If you want to go ahead and get a jump on it and maybe go ahead and register right now, just go to afa.net/events. Click on AFA at the Ark. That's afa.net/events. And we'll talk to Mark here in the next segment. In the meantime, let's take more of your calls and questions today. I've got one line open, 800-525-7000. Let's go to Alabama. Hi, Daisy. Go ahead.
I have a question. My husband was offered a job with a new company doing what he's doing, but this new company is part of a union. And avoiding all political things aside, we aren't very familiar with what that includes. He's never worked for a union before. He's in the trades. So what we're trying to do is balance out if the job switch would be worth it once you pay the dues, and then you're hooked in with a union and they offer you a pension, but how to balance all of that with what he's already making without paying dues.
Yeah. Well, I think you need to think through it both from a financial side and a non-financial side. I mean, we can focus on the financial side. In terms of the non-financial, I'll just say quickly, you know, those who, you know, like unions, who are pro-union, would hope that the collective bargaining will, you know, lead to better outcomes, wages and working conditions. Those who might be less prone to be a part of a union might be wary of creating workplace tension or giving up control of their own decisions to the union. And then there's also the union dues. So you just need to kind of understand those pieces. But with regard to the financial implications, Daisy, joining a union doesn't affect your Social Security retirement or disability benefits. So you can retire with Social Security and a union pension at the same time, so long as you're paying FICA taxes. And if you're paying those FICA taxes at least 40 quarters, 10 years, and then based on your highest 35 years is going to be what drives that benefit, you know, you'll still be eligible again as long as you're paying those FICA taxes. Now, some union pension programs, like those with a state or a local government, do not include FICA taxes and then could make you subject to what's called the windfall elimination provision when you retire, which would reduce your Social Security benefits by around 50%, with the idea that you're not paying those FICA taxes and you're going to rely on the pension in lieu of that. So you're just going to want to understand whether or not that's the case here, because that will affect ultimately how much you collect from Social Security. Does that make sense?
Okay, that makes sense from that. So I know I don't want to dive into it too much, but what would having a union, like working for the union, what benefit might that have for us and for our family if we're paying into it? You know, it's going to be several hundred dollars every month.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, the benefit is ultimately, I mean, they're seeking to get pay and increase pay and increase benefits for workers. And so they use the collective bargaining to be able to secure higher wages and better benefits like, you know, pensions and so forth. Whereas employers hiring for non-union jobs have to increase their wages too, but maybe not necessarily in the same amount. You know, typically they'll set up a formal process for disputes or complaints. You know, they might, you know, do other things that, you know, allow you, you know, some benefits by being a part of that community and collaboration that's involved there. So, I mean, those are typically the biggest benefits that you're going to see at the end of the day, is just making sure that there's good working conditions and worker protections in addition to continuing to drive wages. So I think probably talking to some folks who have been a part of that particular union would be a good thing. Maybe have him, you know, just, you know, reach out to some people that if he knows of somebody who works for the same company or is a part of the same union, just to find out what's been the history of that. And has there been benefits, you know, has it created any kind of, you know, workplace tension, you know, has it been problematic or has it been a blessing and, you know, really yielded better benefits, therefore worth the cost of being a part of it, because there is one. And I think that's where doing your homework and due diligence is not a bad idea at all.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Thank you for your help.
You're welcome. Thank you for calling. All the best to you and your husband as you explore this new opportunity. We appreciate you being on the program. Let's go to Virginia. Hi, Cynthia. How can I help?
How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for your call.
Yeah, so I was wondering, we have my husband and I have this real estate opportunity. A gentleman from our church, he has a friend, he's disabled, and he's getting ready to be taken from his home because he has no money and he owes back taxes. He owes about $2,600 in back taxes. And he wants to know if we would put our name on the deed with him and let him live the rest of his life out there and by paying the taxes. My question is, what are the tax implications of that? You know, I mean, on our federal taxes.
Yes. Yeah. So essentially, it would be a gift from that individual to you, because he's relinquishing 50% potentially, if it's a shared, you know, you're equally on the deed, he's potentially releasing 50% or more of the ownership of the property as a gift to you. And so he could do that up to $18,000 each of you for this year. And then beyond that, he'd have to file a gift tax form that would essentially chip away at his lifetime gift exclusion, which today is $13 million. So it really isn't an issue and would not create a taxable event for you or him. If the Trump Tax Cuts and Jobs Act expires as it's set to next year at the end of 2025, then that drops to $5 million. But there's still a $5 million lifetime gift exemption available. So that would just chip away at that. So again, not taxable to him, not taxable to you. You'd just be receiving that as a gift. And then you would be a partial owner of that property at his death. Depending on what his will says, either you all would inherit the rest of the property or he could give it away to somebody else and you'd be a co-owner. And then at that point, you'd have to decide, are we selling the property? And if so, then you'd each take your portion upon the sale. The only other tax implication is that when it's gifted through a quitclaim deed, you retain the cost basis. So when you sell it, to determine the capital gains tax that would be due, you would inherit his original cost basis as your cost basis. But obviously, you know, that tax, at least today, is not going to be more than either 0, 15, or 20%, and you're getting half of the property right now you know, for nothing other than you paying the back taxes. I think the only other thing would just be for you to talk to an attorney about the liability of you being a partial owner of this property with him in it. What if something happens on the property and now you're sued for it? So before I do this, I would talk to a real estate attorney and I'd talk to your CPA just to make sure you've got good counsel all the way around before you go through with this. Thanks for your call, Cynthia. Back with more after this. Stay with us.
Today's issues.
Blaming a gun for a violent crime or a murder is like blaming the pencil for a misspelled word.
Mm. Ooh, I like that.
That would be like a student who he does terrible on spelling. And he says,
we've had a rash of pencil-oriented mistakes.
Misspelled words.
Today's issues. Weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
From a staunch atheist to a devout defender of faith, C.S. Lewis's life and legacy continues to surprise and inspire audiences today, just as they did in his own time. I'm David Wolin with Haven Today. Join me all week for a series called The Legacy of Lewis.
Haven Today, weekday mornings at 4:30 Central on American Family Radio. Listen online at afr.net.
Are you looking for a financial professional who aligns with your biblical values? Certified Kingdom Advisors are trusted financial, legal, or accounting professionals who have completed a rigorous certification program to ensure they provide biblically wise financial advice as part of their practice. You can find a local CKA professional in your area by going to faithfi.com and clicking Find a CKA.
We are grateful for support from Timothy Plan. Are you unsure if your investments align with your values? Well, for nearly three decades, the goal of the Timothy Plan has been to guide clients on a biblically responsible journey with its mutual funds and ETFs. More information is available at timothyplan.com. Investing includes risk, including possible loss of principal. Before investing, carefully consider funds, investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses contained in the prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Read carefully before investing. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foresight Fund Services LLC.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. Hey, have you always wanted to go see the Ark in Kentucky? What about the Creation Museum? Well, an incredible opportunity coming up for you next fall, but it's not too soon to plan. It's called AFA at the Ark. It's October 31st through November 2nd. It involves both the Creation Museum and the Ark Encounter. And to tell us about all of it is our good friend Mark Loy. He's a co-founder of Answers in Genesis. He's Vice President of Outreach and Chief Communications Officer. Mark, great to have you with us today.
You know, Rob, always great to be on the radio with AFR. You folks have been very kind to us over the years.
Well, it's there's mutual admiration there, my friend. Hey, what an incredible opportunity for these folks. You know, I've been there, and what I believe is that until you experience it firsthand, it's just even hard to imagine the size and scale of what takes place there at the Ark Encounter. Just try to capture a little bit of that for our listening audience today.
Well, thank you for this opportunity. And yeah, the Ark at the Ark Encounter in northern Kentucky. We're just south of Cincinnati, so we're within from where your studios are. I think you can drive here in a day.
Yeah.
But we have a full size Noah's Ark according to the dimensions of the Bible. We answer the most asked questions that people have about Noah's Ark and Noah's flood there in the book of Genesis. But as you've already noticed, Rob, when you've been to our Ark as well as our Creation Museum, we're not only defending the authority of the Bible in Genesis, but we're highly evangelistic.
Yes.
We share the gospel at both places. Our studies indicate that about 30% of our guests at the Ark would not identify themselves as Christians. Mm. And so when you have over a million people coming to the Ark every year, think of it, over 300,000 of them are non-Christians and they're getting the gospel. And we present the Ark and the Creation Museum in a very high-tech way. These are not boring, stuffy science museums. They rival many of the attractions and museums around the country. In fact, we have many, many people tell us they much prefer to come to the Ark Encounter now as opposed to go to Disney in Florida or Universal Studios, where here they get biblical messages. They learn not only that evolution is a wrong worldview, Rob, but we get into some of the hot social issues of the day that you folks do in your network, because the book of Genesis touches on some of these issues, like what is marriage? What is gender? What do we do about abortion? I mean, the Bible says in Genesis we're created in God's image, and we devote a good chunk of our ministry to fighting the scourge of racism, because we believe that all of us go back to an original couple, Adam and Eve. So it's more than just creation evolution, more than just some science exhibits that are static and perhaps stuffy and boring. It's a fun, high-tech place that even our detractors, Rob, have been to the Creation Museum, and they say this is the best-looking, most high-tech museum they've ever visited. Of course, they'll quickly add that they don't believe in our worldview, but that's high praise coming from those people who don't agree with our worldview.
There's no doubt that it is, Mark. You did an incredible job, you and the team, when you constructed it. And, you know, the commitment to historical and biblical accuracy is so admirable. Talk about the presentation that will be a part of this AFA at the Ark experience.
Yeah, I'm glad you've scheduled at least a day at each site. The two, by the way, are 45 minutes apart. Yeah. But our guests are telling us that each one is a full-day visit. The Creation Museum, yes, there's a walkthrough of biblical history that can take a few hours, but we have a planetarium, we have an auditorium with special lectures, maybe one of the nicest gardens in the entire Midwest. People are telling us on par of what you might see, let's say, in Chicago. And at the Ark Encounter, people are spending about 2.5 hours typically inside that ship, looking at the different exhibits, watching videos, getting the gospel message. Behind that massive ship, we have a good-sized zoo that we continue to expand. We have a virtual reality experience. It's almost like a ride where you put the goggles on and the seats vibrate and you feel like you're moving. And we have a very large 2,000-plus seat answer center where we have special lectures, animal shows. We have our own musical group on site. So people who have tried to do both attractions in one day, all of them say, no, you need to devote at least 8 hours per attraction.
Excellent. Before we let you go, I'm so thankful for this overview. I know our folks can't wait to be a part of this. Tell us what Ken Ham's been working on these days. He never ceases to amaze me with his energy and intellect.
Well, you know, he and Don Wildman, your founder, are very similar in that they are visionaries with a capital V. I know it's almost a trite word nowadays, visionaries, but I mean, I could sit down with Ken right now and say, hey, Ken, come up with 5 new book ideas, for example, and he'll rattle them off. He knows where how to scratch where people are itching. Yeah. So what I want to say about Ken and his ideas is that when you come to the Ark on, I think it's late October, early November with your
That's
group,
right.
you're going to see about half of the future full-scale Ark Encounter. We finished about 50% of it, and already it's become a full-day attraction. And we also have launched a streaming service called Answers TV.
Great.
Ken is a prolific author, blogger, and you can find most of this information on our website of answersingenesis.org.
Well, we're so thankful for the ministry. Mark, you guys are doing an incredible job. Folks, you're not going to want to miss this. It's AFA at the Ark 2024, October 31st through November the 2nd. You're going to tour both the Creation Museum. It's amazing. The Ark Encounter. It's incredible. Lunch provided both days of the tour. You'll hear a special presentation from some of the team at Answers in Genesis and so much more. If you want to register right now before it fills up, we'd encourage you to do that. AFA.net/events. That's AFA.net/events. And Mark, we appreciate you stopping by.
Okay. Hope to see you again soon.
All right. God bless you. That was Mark Loy. He's co-founder of Answers in Genesis, VP of Outreach and Chief Communications Officer. Once again, afa.net/events to register today. All right. Let's round out the broadcast today with some folks that have been holding, and we'll head to Texas next. Jeff, thanks for your call, sir. Go ahead.
Hi, Rob. I really enjoy your ministry, and I had a question about debt-to-income ratio with my land flipping and splitting business.
Yeah. How can I help with that? Sure.
So I just wanted to know, what is a good ratio? Like, we have about $5.5 million in debt, and then we bring in about $1.2 million average over the last few years.
Yeah. You know, it just is so dependent upon the business itself. I mean, I would say typically kind of a rule of thumb is around 35% for a small business debt to income ratio. But, you know, it does depend obviously significantly on the business itself, the revenue, your ability to service the debt. But I would say just kind of as a general rule of thumb, you know, that 30 to 35% mark would be, you know, ideal in terms of a healthy small business.
Okay. Well, that helps a lot.
I appreciate it. How's the business been doing as of late?
I've had a land partner for about 6 years, and it's been phenomenal. I've bought from some of the same people several times. Now they just call me up whenever they're about to buy something, and then I just buy it from them, and they make their little markup, and I get my owner financing for 30 years at 5 to 7%. So it's worked. And then there's been so many people that want to get out of the cities and have their own little piece of Texas and, you know, build their house out there. And most of them have, in Wills Point area, have been Hispanics who have their own businesses.
Okay. All right. Well, it sounds like a fabulous business, and what an opportunity with real estate, with what it's doing for you, just to continue to build your portfolio there and just collect the income stream on that. That's excellent, Jeff. Well, listen, we can help further along the way. Don't hesitate to reach out. Thanks for being on the program today, sir. Let's go to North Carolina. Bill, you'll be our final caller today. Go ahead.
Good morning. I am Phil, and I'm considering doing a home refinance as opposed to a HELOC loan. And I currently have a mortgage in the amount of $244,300, and that's 2.25%. And this, if I refinance, it's going to go to something like 6.5-7% and $2,200. I just don't know if this is a smart move. I need to get about $50,000 cash out of this house, if possible.
Yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't touch that current mortgage. I mean, that's a phenomenal interest rate. You know, even if you did a 15-year fixed, yeah, I mean, they're pushing 7% right now, but I think 6.8 is probably pretty typical right now. So what I would encourage you to do, Bill, if there's no other way for you to pay for this by delaying it and paying it out of current cash flow or something like that, I'd probably go the home equity line of credit route. I wouldn't touch that $244,000 at 2.25%. Not only are you going to probably, you know, more than double that rate, but you're going to have the expenses of refinancing that loan on top of it, which can be, you know, 3 to 5% of the mortgage value. So I'd leave that right where it is and then get that home equity line of credit, which, by the way, as rates will come down, the variable rate on that home equity line of credit will come down with it, and then just try to get it paid off as quick as you can. Does that make sense?
Yes, but that home equity line of credit could also go up as interest rates go up, can it not?
It can. I just don't see rates going up much above where we are today. I think we're pretty much at the peak. But if you wanted to lock it in, you could go a home equity loan. I just think you have a much better likelihood of rates coming down. But at the end of the day, whether you do the loan or the line of credit, I wouldn't do the refi. Hey, thanks for your call, sir. Unfortunately, I'm out of time. God bless you. That's going to do it for us today. A big thanks to my team today, Jim Henry, Devin Patrick, Robert Youngblood, and everybody here at FaithFi. If you want to support our work, go to faithfi.com and click give, and we'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.